The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 543. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What up, everybody?
And Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
All right, guys, we're back with another one. A couple of things here. Adam can't make it. He's still, hey, Brett, he's still in your neck of the woods, man, Kansas City.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he said he sent you photos of, you know, the stadium he was at today.
Oh, shit.
I guess you haven't checked. Oh, man.
I don't like being in my emails.
And we don't know where Chris and Brian are. So maybe they'll show up, maybe they won't, you know? Chris usually tells us if he's going to be in or not, but you know, he's the father. You know, things may happen randomly.
Fatherly things.
Yeah, shout out to everybody. In the various chats, we got the YouTube crew and the Twitch crew. We got Dirty Death Dealer and Michael Acevedo. Ooh, I haven't seen Michael in a while. They're holding it down on YouTube, and then we got our boy Los over here on Twitch, and obviously Barry Burton, you know, on both holding it down, and Eurocar. Good stuff. All right, man. Let's get into it. We didn't get a lot of questions tonight, but the questions we got are pretty damn good. Shout out to Jay Shep and Alpha Chuck, who asked us all the questions. That's why, like, Jay Shep asked 6 questions. Let it go, because we didn't get a lot, you know? And they're all good stuff. Blitz, what's going on, brother? Blitz. Oh, yeah, I don't know if you saw my message Discord. I beat that Donkey Kong, baby, you know? Now the real game begins. All right. Actually, you did see it. You were telling me how the game gets harder. That was just a Nintendo staple, which I appreciate. You know, it's like, for example, you play like Mario Odyssey. Like, hey, this game was kind of easy. Then you get to the post-game levels. You're like, fuck, you know?
I mean, it's sort of like a general.
What's up, Brett?
When you rolled the credit.
Huh?
I said, I thought you said you stopped playing games when the credits rolled.
No, I didn't. I never said that. I usually keep playing because I want to go back and like get extra shit, you know?
Bro, you literally just said that about Mario Kart last week.
Yeah. Oh, that's because with Mario Kart, I have no incentive to go back to play it. There's nothing left, you know? I guess what I was trying to say is like the credits give me the excuse to move on. But if there's like a collectible game like this shit, I'm going back, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really more of an excuse. Because Brett, like, if I said that, I would be hypocritical. It's like 80% of the time I go back, you know, because there's shit to do. And I'm a trophy guy. I have to go back to get shit.
That's what I thought, man. Like, bro, I just have to keep it accountable. You know
that's
how to.
That's it. Yeah, man. This is what we do on Throwdown, man.
Out of respect, brother. You know that.
Of course. Yeah. No, I'm you know, glad you asked that. All right, man. Let's get into it. Jay Shep starts off with a bunch of questions here, which we like. With the recent layoffs and studio closures at Xbox, I can't help but worry about Obsidian. Their last game, Avowed, flopped, and their next game, Outer Worlds 2, is priced at $80. What do you guys think? Listen, man, right now you don't know who's going to be on the chopping block. They fucking turned 10, you know? They were one of the pillar studios. If they get the axe, anybody could go. Because right now, let's just be honest, these decisions aren't being made by the folks running Xbox. They're made by Microsoft. If they see your ass in the sheet and you ain't bringing that kind of money or you cost too much, you're gone. They don't give a fuck about the legacy, you know? So you should be worried. I'm not saying they will be cut. I'm saying you should be worried about every single Xbox studio under the sun. That's the way I see it, you know? What about you guys?
I mean, it's the studios that seem to be getting cut seem to be problem studios.
Even Turn 10?
I don't know what the deal with Turn 10 is. Was it? Did it turn out to be 100% of the studio?
Yeah, it did. Unfortunately, it was originally reported 50. Then it turned out the whole studio's just done. And remember, they made Forza Motorsport. That's one of the three pillars of Xbox, man.
Yeah, that's the one. I'm like, man, that's the odd duck out. I really can't account for that. But like the whole Project Blackbird studio, like, bro, you've been making an extraction shooter for 6 years. If it ain't ready, it ain't ready.
But yeah, Brett, are you worried about Obsidian?
I am and I'm not, because Avowed was a huge flop, and I'm excited for Outer Worlds 2, kind of, but Outer Worlds 1 was pretty disappointing, and honestly, so was Avowed. Like, and I'm sitting over here playing Tainted Grail, being like, this is what Avowed should have been. And like, Tainted Grail was made by a fraction of the people. I guess it's technically an indie game, but holy shit, does it do a way better job on every level than Avowed. However, Grounded is currently one of the, like, I know we say that these are, like, Forza and Halo are the pillars of Xbox, but that's not necessarily true anymore. That was true when we were younger.
Yeah, the, like, classic, now, the classic, you're right, yeah, the classic pillars.
Yeah, now a couple of the pillars are, you know, Sea of Thieves and Grounded, which Sea of Thieves is being made by Rare, and Grounded is being made by Obsidian. So, like, I'm not sure that those are the pillars anymore, and I'm not sure that, I mean, I'd be really interested to dig into it. I'm not going to right now, honestly. I don't have a good reason. I'm just feeling lazy. I don't know how profitable Forza has been, and like it honestly. I can't tell you, and maybe I'm just gaslighting myself here, but like, I can't tell you that that's not a bygone era, and that we aren't kind of just, you know, the elder gamers.
Well, we are the elder gamers. Two things I want to touch on. This could be a reason. I'm not saying it is the reason. Because again, my guess is as good as anybody's, right? Forza Horizon does very, very well. That's made by a different studio. Turn 10, Forza Motorsport. When the hell was the last Forza Motorsport game? Right? So Microsoft could have been like, hey, this studio's not doing shit. Gone. You know? And then to your second point, maybe Grounded could be Obsidian's saving grace. If these two games flop, I mean, Avowed already flopped. If you have Avowed flopping and the Outer Worlds 2 flopping, if Grounded and then Grounded 2 do well, because that's a, you know, big open world fucking microtransaction-y type of game. If that shit brings in enough money, that could be what saves Obsidian. So I think...
Well, Grounded is not only doing really well, but it does really well on Game Pass. Like, it pulls in big numbers on Game Pass, just like Thief Beats. And, like, you don't hear that about all games, but, like, some games, they're like, no, they pull Game Pass numbers enough to pull their weight. What does that mean? I don't fucking know. But I know enough people play Sea of Thieves on Game Pass that it seems to drive enough subscriptions that I... Blah, 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 I don't know. I can tell you, Grounded is a four-player game. It's like not like a big live service game, but it's been very, very successful for them, and it's been one of the big things they can put out. You know, being able to be like, look, we finished Grounded 1, and we're going into Grounded 2, and we're doing it the same way, where it's early access, we're taking lots of player feedback. That generally tends to go pretty well, because the community tends to keep those guys in line, which, you know, kind of makes it a little... Honestly, I think an early access period is something a lot more games should adopt, because even games like Baldur's Gate got a ton of feedback, changed character models, rewrote parts of scenes, things like that. Like, taking player feedback, we have a whole internet there. Like, honestly, it's just free testing. Why would you not? So part of Grounded success might be its early access nature and its reception to criticism from its player base. But honestly, if that's the cheat code, that's the simplest fucking cheat code ever. If the way to avoid spending $250 million the wrong way is, I don't know, release it halfway through, tell people that you know that it's broken, but you're looking for suggestions, and then listen to your audience. Because a lot of games that do that actually seem to do pretty well. It's not a thing a lot of people like, but then again, those people that don't like it, they don't jump into the early, right? Like, I didn't jump into Baldur's Gate Early Access because I knew I was going to want to play it when it was out. But there are other games where I've jumped into Early Access that I really, like Valheim. Like, I've really enjoyed my time in Valheim several times now, and that game isn't even out yet. like 1.0 is supposed to come out. Like, we'll hear about Valheim actually coming out probably late this year / early next year is when Valheim will finally come out. But it's in a play-worthy state, and they just keep adding entirely new zones, and that's kept it legitimate. That's kept titles selling, and it's honestly, it's turning into a weird type of way to sell a game. Like, if you want your game to not be a flash in the pan, if you want to sell your game, you know, six different times, make a game that is a base game that's playable, then fun, and then do what we used to call DLCs, but do them for free, right? And then be like, this game should have six DLCs, and then it will be considered a complete game. But it's not a complete game until these six are out. So every time you release a new, quote-unquote, big patch, the game sells like gangbusters. So it seems like it everybody wins. So, but where I'm going with this is the fact that Grounded 2 is locked into the early access thing, I think is indicative of them not pulling the plug on that game.
Yeah. Shout out to Chris, who just joined us. Chris, do you think we should be worried about Xbox potentially axing Obsidian?
Yeah, I'd be worried about any studio because there's overlap with what Obsidian does and Bethesda at large. So you have Avowed and stuff, Outer Worlds, but like Outer Worlds is just like Fallout in space. And they did Fallout in space, they did Starfield. So yeah, if you have two studios with overlap, I would fear, and I think Bethesda's more safe than, but I won't say because they could have cut them already, or they could have done deep layoffs and they didn't.
Yeah, Grounded is doing well for them. That's probably why.
Yeah, so.
And I speculated that game could be what saves the studio. Avowed flopped, obviously, and the Outer Worlds was $80, so we'll see about that. But maybe, do you think if Grounded does well and then Grounded 2 continues doing well, that could be what saves the studio? That's what I think could be the only hope.
Yeah, then well, remember, just they might Grounded too.
Yeah,
yeah, they might just lop off the arm that did Avowed.
Yeah,
yeah, true. I don't think they'd get rid of Obsidian altogether, or they would roll it up in a new studio, kind of like 343, like roll up what works, like Grounded. You never know. You never know. I don't think anyone is safe at Microsoft. Yeah, to be honest,
that's what I said. It's somebody in the chat said it's like a horror movie. You don't know who's gonna die.
Yeah, right?
Bro,
Jesus. Phil Spencer bro, going around like Michael Myers, just stabbing everyone.
It's a Nadella.
going office to office with a shotgun.
Oh, man.
But, like, I honestly, when you say that, it makes me kind of think, like, I think a lot of old school fans might not take the idea of Obsidian being rolled up into Bethesda too terribly, considering that was the marriage that made New Vegas. Now, none of those people are there anymore, but you kind of are doing the same. Although, between Bethesda's space game and their space game, I'm thinking I'd take Obsidian's space game because Bethesda whooped it on that one.
Oh man, you know it's bad when you rather choose the Outer Worlds than Starfield. Fuck.
I mean. Not when you consider how bad Starfield is.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
How does Bethesda fuck up their own fucking model so badly? At that point, that's when you might be like, even I might be like, okay, so like maybe if you bring the Obsidian guys in, they can tell you where you're going wrong. Like, because Obsidian games have a lot of character, a lot of personality, but not the same depth that Bethesda games do. But Bethesda games don't have the characters, the story real well anymore. But I mean, even Bethesda has just simplified their games down to the point where like they don't really, it's like, I swear to God, if the next Elder Scrolls has like just body armor, gloves, and a helmet, I'm going to lose my shit. I'm going to lose my shit if they just keep cutting this shit down, right? Like they're going to turn this shit dumber and dumber and dumber until it's a Doom. And Doom's fine, but that's not what these games are supposed to be. And I think that there's enough people beginning to nip on their heels. Again, I'll take it back to Tainted Grail. If y'all haven't played this game, it's like $50. It plays like an Elder Scrolls game, but it looks like a Souls game. And it has the soundtrack of a Diablo game, which honestly, it all works really well. I think Brian might have started. I'd be really interested to hear what he has to say. But like, there's a lot of companies that have sense that I don't think Elder Scrolls 6 is coming, or it's coming well. And that means they started to make Scrolls-like games. Because for the longest time, the industry was so dominated, nobody would try and make a Bethesda-like game. It just wasn't going to try the same way. Nobody tries to make a GTA-type game. But now I think that there's people sensing weakness, and we're starting to get Scrolls-like. And they're actually coming out, like, they have been conceived and produced and released in the time that Elder Scrolls, since Elder Scrolls 6 was announced. So I feel like the sharks smell blood in the water, and we're about to get a flood of Scrolls. And I'm excited for that. Genuinely, I am, because I'm sick of waiting 10 years between every fucking Elder Scrolls game.
All right, man. Let's move on here. Another one from Jay Shep. I was looking at the trailer for Where Winds Meet, and I was thinking, are gamers about to get burned out from feudal Japan / samurai type games? Confession. I've never heard of this game, Where Winds Meet. Is anybody familiar with this?
Oh, I haven't heard, but I could definitely see samurai fatigue becoming a thing.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now.
Let's look this up.
Is this a Korean game? I don't think this is. Yeah, I don't. Well, I don't know. I don't think this is a Japanese
game. I don't think it's Japanese. It's Chinese.
Yeah, it's a Chinese game. So, yeah, I mean, it looked nice, but yeah, he's not a samurai, though.
Yeah, so this doesn't count, but there are. I don't know. Maybe should we extend it to like feudal Asian games? Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, because it's a Chinese
really
game.
The feudal non-Japanese Asian games. What are those?
Yeah, we don't really have. We've never had those before. I know we've had Dynasty Warriors. Dynasty or Warriors. Like that. Yeah. We've had those, you know, but yeah. I don't know, Jay Shep, like, maybe you confuse this for something else, because this is not Onimusha or anything like that, you know? This is something else.
Or Onimushu.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, look, there is some crossover. I realize there's been a lot of wars and a lot of tragedies between China and Japan, but if you go back far enough, there's a cultural link there, the same way there is to, like, some of the Mongols and something like that. So like there is a generalized mix. Like if you could talk about European culture, you can talk about, you know, generalized Asian culture. And like, if we were talking about fatigue about, you know, like, I'm sick of 15th century European culture, then it's kind of the same to say like, look, I'm getting kind of sick of feudal Asian culture. Like
do you think that's a better way of answering this question, Brett? Like just, say Asian.
I do. I think a lot of people are gonna be a little uncomfortable about that, but I think it's just in the sense of like, look,
say European, motherfuckers don't get uncomfortable about that. It's the same basic thing, you know.
Like, exactly.
It's in that region. Yeah. So I don't know, I still don't know the answer to this question, because like,
Can we be honest?
Yeah. Go ahead, bro.
Can we be honest about this conversation? Like Brett's point is a great point, but I think that only, like, you saying Europe and saying Asian really doesn't mean anything, because if you do the European thing and you say like the Renaissance thing, you're really only talking about like France and Italy. And
we're talking about medieval, like, you know, like basically if you're talking about medieval Europe and then like feudal China, Japan, like you're going to the Renaissance. That's a different thing, you know?
I thought you guys said Renaissance.
No, he said medieval.
Oh, gotcha. My bad. I thought you said Renaissance. I'm like,
No.
Medieval can cover like a lot of things. It can cover the French.
The stuff before the Renaissance, Carlos.
Yeah.
Well, even the same way, like, I'm not talking about just Japan and China here, right? Because they have a contentious history, and to link them in any way, a lot of people dislike, and I absolutely understand that, because they're the kind of connection is very far back. But like, there's a, like the Mongols connection to Chinese people. Like, the Mongols are not the Chinese, and the Chinese are not the Mongols. But there is also a shared history that way.
Yeah,
there's from like the steppes of Eurasia all the way to Japan is kind of like an isolated culture. Actually, it's something you get to, and then there's like the place where like Asia meets Russia, and that's just a whole different thing. But like, I think that like even, I don't even think we're limiting the conversation here to just China or Japan, but like
Korea too.
You could throw them in there. Of, yeah, well, you know, Korea, Taiwan, anything that's not Polynesian, pretty much.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of different cultural ones in there to explore. And I think that, again, like I'm sitting here, I'm like, I can't really tell you a lot. Like, it'd be nice to know some other stuff, but we're finally starting to get more Chinese-based things than Japan-based things, and that's also nice. Like the Wukong, it was a great thing, and I think China's a big market, so we're going to see a lot more Chinese stuff popping up. However, I do think it's a little like zombies, and that everybody's rushing to make a game to kind of break into the Chinese market as well. And
I mean,
studios, though, to be fair.
Yeah, it's a lot of it's all Chinese studios, like all these.
Well, that's actually true.
Yeah, so it's not like anybody over here is trying to break into making wushu games. You know, it's really them just sort of, you know, putting out their own culture on these things as games.
And that's the reason why most of the games are Chinese, Japanese based. You know, all those types of things, because those are the countries that are making them. Like, it'd be cool to get something based off of India, like something historical from India. That'd be crazy. But I don't think any studio.
That's a culture we don't. That's a culture we don't get very much from in general. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now that we've kind of established it, are we getting too many of these games?
I don't think so. I feel no. To be honest, I would say I don't think we're getting too much of these games, but I would say they are falling into the same line, starting to fall into the same of line of similarities, where they're sort of these, you know, Devil May Cry-ish type titles. There are sort of these, you know, action-heavy sort of type of games. You know what I mean? Like those sorts of, that sort of genre they're sort of jumping into, maybe like the, and maybe that's where the thing is that we're seeing a lot of these stories, but they're all seem fairly similar as far as the gameplay loops.
Yeah.
They are definitely the action. I don't know, man. I think we're seeing too many just feudal games. Like, what's weird is actually said, like, you're like, oh, they are coming from China. I'm like, well, yeah, that fucking makes sense. But like, then I start thinking about, like, you know, feudal European games are coming from European studios too. But there just seems to be a lot of like, hey, let's focus backwards. You know, like, you know, even things like Kingdom Come.
I definitely think it opened the door, like the actual successes of those Chinese made games like Wukong and. I can't, you know, some of the other ones that had come, you know, over here in the West has really started to push them a little bit. You're starting to see them a lot more.
Yeah. Real quick, I want to read this comment from the homie, Jeffrey Wilson. He goes, aren't Wukong, Wulong, and Wuchang all Souls-like and based on similar mythology? Maybe that's why they all feel so similar. Yeah, it's a great point. They all, like you said, Manny, they're all action games of that sort. They're all kind of using the same kind of mythology naturally. So maybe that's why Jay Shep kind of feels that way, you know?
I mean, though Wuchang is not Journey to the West. Wuchang is a different...
No one said Journey to the West. The similarity that three games have is that they're Souls-like and they're Chinese mythology.
Yeah. But that's different.
Okay, how?
What's the Journey to West, which is
Manny, we're not talking about Journey to the West. We're talking about three games that are using basic mythology,
the Journey to the West are two different things.
But okay, Chinese mythology is not Journey to the West, but Journey to the West is part of Chinese mythology, right?
No.
No.
It's not part of mythology. It's not, a book.
Yeah, but it's based off of myths. The guy was not running around killing gods in real life. Understand?
No, it's not. Yeah, it's fantasy. Definitely.
Yeah. It's kind of like how, you know, Dante's Inferno, right? That's part of Christian mythology, but it's not in the Bible. It's the same kind of deal.
It's not,
you know?
It's not a part of Dante's Inferno. Has absolutely nothing. It's not part of Christian mythology at all, because none of what happens inside of it even is mentioned.
Yeah,
but it comes from the same mythology.
Though.
But it is accepted as part of it, even though it has nothing, no connection to it.
Okay, That's the point I wanted to establish. So it's all part, let's just say it's all part of, you know, Asian, like, if you don't like the word mythology, what word would you accept?
I mean, it would be, yeah, it'd be Asian culture. Like,
okay, sure.
That's part of their culture. Yeah.
Yeah. Little nitpicky there, but sure. Let's go with culture.
I mean,
you know?
I forget. I think it's Wu Chang.
Yeah.
Or no, one of them,
one of the Wu games.
And I forget, because I really like this. What were the three that you said? The Wus?
Okay, Wulong. I want to read the full names of these games. Wulong, Fallen Dynasty. Wu Chang, Fallen Feathers. And Wukong, you know, whatever subtitle that one had. Oh, yeah, Wukong, Blackness. Wulong, and Wu Chang.
Okay, it was Wulong.
Yeah.
Wulong was, okay, so Wulong is basically the same story as Dynasty Warriors, but with demons. It's the Three Kingdoms story.
Okay.
So it's not mythology; it's history mythologized.
Yeah, let's go with culture then. You know, since
I say culture,
yeah. To me, I'm like, this is all fucking myths and shit. Basically, fake shit. You know,
Three Kingdoms is a big deal.
That's a real thing, though. Yeah, there were the things. So wait, let's go with Chinese culture, so everybody's happy with the wordage here. You know, is that acceptable?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I think it's like, you know how like every anime is based off of feudal Japan, but like they're all hunting demons.
Yeah,
it's kind of like that.
Yeah,
it's like, oh yeah, it's like
Japanese culture. Yeah,
why don't we have that? Why don't we have like 13 colonies werewolf hunter?
Brett, that sounds like a story you should write. Same, just throwing that out there, man.
Right, like just do, yeah, fuck. I mean, I need to do an early American, feudal American demon hunter.
Basically, have Solomon Kane, but actually in America instead of Africa. You know, some Protestant guy hunting shit. You know,
right? Why? Well, I did. I did enjoy Abraham Lincoln werewolf.
There you go. Anyway, I don't know. I see why the question exists. It was like, Jeffrey just named three of these fucking games, and there's more coming. You know.
Well, go ahead, Manny.
Yeah, Manny, go ahead.
Oh, we're so nice to you. Anyway, so yeah, I don't. Again, like I'm not. You know, maybe, you know, he sees it a bit different than I do, but I don't. It doesn't bug me because we're so inundated by Western culture in general with most of the titles that we're getting. I do like seeing that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
but I can see where, like, when. In the past, when have we ever, with the most exposure we've had to like Chinese, like, or Chinese culture, like, you know, stuff is like, you know, again, like Three Kingdoms stuff from the Dynasty Warriors titles and fucking Mahjong, the stupid Mahjong game that would always just show up every so often. So it's like, I appreciate that these things that they're getting their turn to put something out, but I can definitely see that. What was it, J-Ship, the answer?
Yes.
Yeah. What J-Ship is saying, where it's like, where, and Jeffrey, what Jeffrey said, where it seems like a lot of these things are sort of falling into the same genre of game. It's like, okay, oh, you know, we got to fight, we got to slowly fight, we got to, you know, fight these monsters and stuff like that. What else do you got? Where else can we go take this besides just making somewhat Souls-like, somewhat Devil May Cry-like?
Yeah. By the way, Manny, so that's your exposure to Chinese culture. My exposure to Chinese culture is Big Trouble in Little China, Mortal Kombat, and the Rush Hour movies.
I'm talking about in games. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like
Mortal Kombat. China. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Like actual mainland China sort of stuff. Like maybe we get Journey to the West things.
Maybe, but yeah.
It's very sort of sparse. That's probably the most that we would get would be a Journey to the West thing. How many like Monkey King things has there been before and then since?
Yeah, you're right about that.
Public domain.
Yeah, you're talking about games. I took it like in general. I'm like, well, I don't know shit about Chinese culture.
Mortal Kombat is somewhat like Ghost of Tsushima a little bit, where it's like it's people that were inspired by those types of titles.
Yeah.
Those movies, like seeing, like, you know, Enter the Dragon, which that game is.
Yeah, and Big Trouble in Little China, you know, the Raiden guy.
Yeah, and the Big Trouble in Little China. Yeah.
Yeah. Jolly Yellow Nerd says there may not be too many of these games now, but how long before we get to a point where, geez. this again?
I mean, I feel like there's already outnumbering other games right now.
You're not wrong. I mean, you've seen some of those showcases of like, whoa, we're getting a lot of these games. Oh, Brett, Jolly Yellow Nerd said he's never seen Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunt.
Oh, right. Okay. It's not a good movie.
Yeah, it's not.
You'll enjoy.
Oh, man.
It's not a good movie, but it's very entertaining.
Yeah. Like, it's not a cinematic masterpiece. It is a Cheesecake Factory, but like.
It was in theaters, too, you know?
It was. Yeah, it was. And it's good. It's really pretty, but it is such a cheese dick movie.
Yes. I mean, listen to the name of the movie. That tells you everything. That's almost as like, you know, like Snake on a Plane. You know what you're getting with this movie, you know?
Yeah, it's like Sharknado. Like, okay, come on. Like, we're not coming here for cinema.
Yeah, we're not,
yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. All right, but let's move on. All right, another one from Jay Shep. Gamers these days seem to downplay or shit on games without seeing reviews or playing them first, like Ghost of Yote, for example, only to later find out they're bangers like Donkey Kong Bonanza. What started this shit on first, ask questions later mentality with gamers? It, by the way, this isn't a recent thing. This has been going on forever, you know?
I can tell you exactly why.
Okay,
pre-orders.
Uh-oh.
Because they used to lie to us so much to get us to fucking pre-order a game so that we would fucking stand in line when they still had fucking physical games. And even for years afterwards, that it's driven a deep animosity into us where I'm like, you know what? I'm going to believe it when I see it. Until then, you ain't even getting hype for me. I know hype's free, but you ain't even getting that shit. Because you know what? I'm sick of being disappointed. That's where a lot of people are. Personally, I do still like the hype track, right? Like, I feel like if I get hyped about something and it lets me down, there's the next thing to be hyped about. And that way, I'm at least in a state of perpetual mild hype, which is a good place to be. Which, you know, I'd rather be in that place than perpetual mild disappointment. So I realize it's a willing ignorance thing, but, you know, I'm happier here this way. So just leave me be in my little hole. But I think that, yeah, there's just too many people that have been like, you know what? No, I ain't giving it any credit until I see it. Until I hear people tell me that it is good, because too much lying. We've been lied to too much in this industry more than fucking any other, right? Like they'll make movies where they make trailers that show you all the good parts or kind of make the movie seem like it's not what it is. But there is no industry that I can think of that, like, other than like maybe fast food, like the thing that you get is not the thing that they showed you in the commercial.
Yeah, Jolly Yellow Nerd says, what Brett said, plus the current influencer culture where people literally profit from misleading people with hype or crap. Yeah, that's one of them. And yeah, obviously the perpetual one, the console war, you have to shit on the game on the other platform. It's like mandatory or something. But obviously nowadays you look really stupid. Like my favorite example of recent times was Indiana Jones. Remember when that got announced for Xbox? Oh, this game, fuck Indiana Jones. This game's going to suck. Fucking Xbox piece of trash. And I'm like, hey guys, guess what happens in 6 months? I think you PlayStation guys need to relax, because that game that you're shitting on right now, coming to your favorite console, you know? That, you know, I think all those factors weigh into it, you know? I'm really glad you brought up the influencer thing, because, yeah, influencers and grifters, I mean, maybe they're both one and the same, right? Where it's like they have to either hyped or shit on the game. They have to, because it's their brand, right? If you're like an Xbox influencer, you have to shit on the PlayStation game and vice versa, you know? And conversely, if you're one of those guys, you have to hype up the game, even if it's shit, you know? But yeah, this is not something that's been going, that's just a recent phenomenon. We have been covering this shit on Throwdown since day one when we started in 2012. This shit is not new, you know? Go ahead, Brett.
But it should be the other goddamn way around. Like I'm fucking pissed at Xbox right now. Like, right. Like if I have both systems, so I don't really have a team, but like, if you're going to be on a team, like I've been playing more lately than I've been playing PlayStation, which is why I'm so mad at them for the recent shit they pulled. Like it seems to me that if you're on a team, you hold that team accountable so they continue to produce the level of quality that you've grown accustomed to.
Yeah, and that's right? What like, aggravates me. Yeah, Brett, that's what aggravates me about fandoms. I'm like, if you're a real fan, you should hold your favorite company accountable. You should. But no, what these idiots do, they just glaze. It's just like, oh, no, everything they do is fantastic. Right. They make fucking excuses and shit. To me, you're a fake fan if you don't want your fucking favorite band to do better, you know?
Go ahead, Brett.
The only people criticizing you are the people not giving you money.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And the other thing about it is it's like you're just continuing eat the same meals over and they keep on serving you and never questioning, even when they start removing things from that meal, when they start to separating other parts of it off, and you never call that sort of situation out. You just accept whatever they're giving you.
Yeah, or
to be honest.
Yeah, go ahead.
And to be honest, again, like to go back what Tony said before, it's like you should always question what your favorite studio is doing.
Yep. Yeah, no, because you have these guys, and you know, we talked about this on the show a couple of weeks ago, where certain influencers or quote unquote experts or leakers or whatever the fuck they want to call themselves now, they got called out. It's like, you guys were over here making it seem like everything was hunky-dory at Xbox. You knew the problems and you didn't say shit. You know, and then I would ask, what kind of fan are you, supposed fan of this like brand are you? If you see the problems, you're in a position to like tell people what the hell's happening and you keep your mouth shut because you need that money to come in. You know, it's crazy, man. It's fucking crazy. All right. Let's move on here. Go ahead.
Also, you guys brought up a lot of the great best points. Just one more is there's a whole culture, you know, thriving in the internet that's just going towards hate.
The grifters.
So, you know, yeah, like it's just they're shitting on games, and it's like, let's try to shit on this game X amount of times. The game hasn't even come out yet, but it already sucks. But we need to push a narrative, and that's pretty much, you know, and people click on those videos and or engage on that stuff. So that's unfortunate, but you know, the community is part to blame for that as well, because they're the ones that prop these people up.
Yeah. It's funny. I, you know, let me go on this and then we go on to the next question. So I was talking to Danny about this a couple weeks ago, and he made a tweet about it too, where he says like, he's going to try to do his best to talk about like positive stuff, because it's just a lot of negativity. I'm like, I told him like, good luck with that, you know, because that's not what gamers want to see. They don't want to see positivity. They want to see drama and hate. You know, I remember being real right now, when we started this iteration of like Throwdown, I would sprinkle in some quote unquote positive topics, like for Thanksgiving one time. This is the only time we did it. I was like, let's talk about the games we're thankful for. Nobody watched that fucking episode. Nobody watched similar episodes. That's why if you look at all the topics that we cover and stuff, they're kind of generally towards here's a problem happening in gaming right now, because that's what people want, unfortunately. You know, if you try to do positive shit, it works for some people. Don't get me wrong. Like, there's a dude called the Happy Console Gamer, and that dude's just positive most of the time. You know, I got introduced to that guy because he went on a rant about Harmony Gold and how they're fucking up, Macross. But look what drew me in, right? Happy Console Gamer, what draws me in? He's shitting on Harmony Gold, you know, a company I despise. So that's what people want, you know?
To be fair to us, like, we don't do topics just talking about one particular game and just shit on it.
No.
Like, we mostly talk about the stuff going in within the industry.
The industry, yeah. Yeah, we don't, because the thing is, like, and I'm glad this is one of those unsaid rules of Throwdown, but we kind of maintain it. It's like, if we haven't played the game, we won't really talk about it too much. We may be like, hey, this is what people are saying, but we'll leave our personal opinion out of it, because, like, I don't fucking know. I didn't play this shit. You know, so I'm glad we self-regulate in that way. But there's a lot of people that don't do that. You know, it's interesting, man. Anybody else got
I'm angry, but I'm positive.
There you go. Blitz as fuck. I don't want to be I don't want the negativity. Sadly, the negativity is what drives conversations. Yeah, you know, everything's just fine. No one cares.
Well,
you know.
Also, I one last thing for that for me. Unfortunately, we are also in sort of a period in time in gaming where we can't have zeitgeist conversations with video games. Like, they happen very, very rarely. Like Elden Ring, it was a time and period where I feel like negativity was at a low, where people were just talking about Elden Ring and the memes and all the videos, and you know, everyone it seemed like it captured the whole culture. But those moments are few and far in between, and something's going to fill those voids. And unfortunately, you know, like you guys mentioned, negativity is what sells it.
Yeah, no, you're right. There's some sparks, like Expedition 33 has another zeitgeist moment. You know, people really enjoyed that game. We still have those moments, but people love the drama.
But there's still drama on top. Right?
There is true.
Oh, 33 people made this amazing game. How come you can't do that big game industry? See where it goes?
Yeah, no, you're right.
We are in an unprecedented time right now, though. Like, y'all have to agree that like creativity is at an all-time low. Budgets are at an all-time high.
Fuck.
We're getting less games.
All-time low. You know, the thing about it
is... No, you're 100% right, Brett. It's like the balance is fucking off, you know?
It's the same thing. That's happened with Hollywood. That's happening with Hollywood. The budgets get big. The budgets get big. And then what do they do? They concentrate on the surefire things, re-pushing out the same things over and over again. Whereas when the smaller film, you know, before were the ones that used to be the ones that were like innovate, like a lot of older action films, like Canon Films made a lot of fun action films, and then all these different smaller companies doing things that were not what the big studios were doing. Even going back to like when when you go back to like the era of noir, right? At the same time that noir films were coming out, what were the big films? The big films were musicals. But then musicals, just sort of fell out of favor. There's just too extravagant. The world just didn't want anymore. And then these sort of more real movies started coming out in the 70s because people were tired of sort of lie of the 60s. You know, everything's okay. Let's all dance.
Yeah. So same way they got sick of Westerns. You know, those were dominant for decades. And then, you know, people just got tired of that shit.
Exactly. So people got tired of it because it's like these big, how the West was won, all these big epic things, epic films. You know, I think everything has a boiling point, right? And once it's already boiled on, then it has to go back to basics again. Again, when we talk about all the games that have innovated, even in the past, those weren't really huge budget titles.
Yeah.
They weren't earned their way up to being, you know, big time, you know, big, to, you know, like big, you know, big, but like, let's take the PlayStation, you know, the PlayStation. Like if you took like a game like God of War, right? God of War, as much as people love that game, that is also, it includes a lot of the things of games of that time. It's the Devil May Cry game. It did a lot of those, you know, it has a bit of Metroidvania elements. All these things.
Shadow of the Colossus. You know,
from different. Yeah, has Shadow of the Colossus. All these different things sort of combining into one thing.
Yeah.
They even have the Resident Evil 4 camera.
Yeah, and then once the Resident Evil 4 camera came out, then what did everybody start doing?
Yep.
Everybody started doing, you know, third person close camera behind the character.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to another question because we still got a few here. This one's interesting. I don't know the answer to this one. Hopefully we can have an answer. I have
Suss one out.
You or Chris may actually know this, Manny. I have a question for anyone on the panel who may have some insight into developer contracts. Do you know if any studio can buy itself out of its contracts? If so, do you ever see Rare or Bethesda buying themselves out of their contracts with Microsoft?
I don't know about Rare or them buying themselves out of Microsoft because I don't think enough of the original people are still there to be able to want to do that. But yeah, it has happened where companies have bought themselves out of their contract. I mean, I hate to use the example of Bungie, but Bungie did buy themselves out of Microsoft.
Yeah, that's right.
They also bought themselves out of Activision.
They also bought themselves out of Microsoft Activision.
Go to Activision, and they bought themselves out only to sell out to Sony. Yeah. It has happened.
So it has happened.
Did IO Interactive buy themselves out of Square Enix? Like,
yes,
they did. Right,
the guys that do. Yeah, the guys,
the Hitman dudes,
Hitman games. Yes,
yeah,
they did. They did buy themselves out of Square Enix.
Yeah. We answered the question: can a studio buy itself back? Yes, it can. But the other point, we don't know about Rare or Bethesda. That one, I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure about those specific studios.
It would involve them because I know that they're the way these companies are, they're all separate businesses and they can, you know, they have their own budgets and stuff like that. So yeah, like how is it that, you know, can they do that? I don't know. I see a company like Ninja Theory being one that would buy themselves back, or something like Double Fine being a company that would buy them, somebody, a company that doesn't, that has enough worth on its own, be, and also people, the people that are in charge are still sort of, you know, the people who are sired those companies are still involved.
Brian, what were you going to say?
I think it was me.
Okay, it was you. Go ahead.
I don't know about the gaming industry. I'm pretty sure it works everywhere like this, but I know in a couple other realms, in order for a buyout to happen, you need a mutual agreement between the big company and the little company. So, you know, in order for Rare or Bethesda to buy themselves out of the out of Microsoft, they need to have agreement from Microsoft. And in order to do that, you have to pretty much, you know, pay more than what they feel you're worth in order to let you out of that. Because at the end of the day, they're just part of Microsoft. Microsoft is the ones that make them.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine anybody, like, I was sitting here thinking, I was like, well, maybe it has to be put into the contract. But then again, I'm like, honestly, anybody can offer to buy a company, even the people just working at the company. Like, if everybody at the company saved all their money and approached Microsoft and be like, hey, we want to buy this company from you, and they had the money, like, there's nothing stopping them from making a proposal, a sale proposal. It's just a question of whether or not it's accepted by the parent company.
Yep. But yeah,
also it would be extremely expensive. You realize that Todd Howard would have to raise and to do, like, a management buyout or a leveraged buyout, he'd have to muster over $5 billion to make that happen. If Microsoft even, that's a lot of money. I mean, they got acquired for $7.5 billion, so they would agree to take it as loss. But at this time, they're kind of sort of Microsoft's crown jewel. Doubtful Microsoft wouldn't accept them. They would have to go to court at this point. And I don't think. Could it happen? Yes. I don't know who's going to give Todd Howard money. Is he going to go to, like, the Saudis or something? Or Tencent? That's the only way I could see that happen.
No.
Right?
My guess is he would probably sell out all of his Microsoft stock that he got when he got acquired. I'm pretty sure that's how he got comped. He probably had to sell all of that and whatever else, you know, business partners and stuff like that. But yeah, sometimes it works and they don't have to pay as much because the other company feels like they're, you know, sunk cost. So I'm guessing, like, for Square Enix, that the, was it IO, I think?
IO Interactive, from Square Enix.
Also, didn't Saber bought themselves out of Embracer?
They did. That's right. Yeah.
So there might be there are some companies that might not be doing as good as the parent company thinks they're doing. So there might be a way easier way or way easier path to do one of these buyout agreements.
All right. Last two questions from Dave Shep are kind of controversial, you know. So let's get into it. I've been seeing a few insecure cavemen complaining about playing as a woman in video games recently. I've been thoroughly enjoying Death Stranding 1, and I can't help but think this game would have been just as fun if the main character were a woman. My question is, what are some games with male main characters that you wouldn't mind changing to a woman? Interesting question.
I mean, for a Kojima game, I've always said, at least the general Kojima titles, I think that the fact that they have famous actors in isn't a thing. It shouldn't be a thing. I mean, you could totally swap out Fragile for Norman Reedus. But to be honest, the reason why they chose Norman Reedus for that game is because of, you know, it's Norman Reedus, not to mention the whole connection with PT. That's the only reason why he's even in that game, because of the controversy that Kojima was very much aware of. And that's why he got him in there. But as far as games swapping out to protagonist, I don't know. Like, what would, like, is, would Uncharted be the same if, let's say, I think Zoe, is her name?
She had her own game.
She had her own game. She was pretty much Lady Uncharted.
Yeah.
I mean, I like her enough. If she was the head of Uncharted, that wouldn't have been a bad, but.
Yeah, this is a weird question because I'm like, go ahead, Carlos. Yeah.
Oh, real quick, the only bad thing that would that would come off of making Nathan Drake a woman is the Tomb Raider allegations would even go deeper there.
You know?
Well, yes. See, that says, see, that's the thing. Like, yeah, as soon as if they did choose a woman, it would immediately have gotten turned into, oh, this is just the Sony's version of Tomb Raider.
And it still got hit with that anyway. Remember Dude Raider, you know?
It became Dude Raider.
Yeah. So. But yeah, this is not like something I've ever thought about. I've never thought I would like this character better if it was a woman, or I would like this character if it was a man. Like, never really thought about that.
I don't know. You know? It's weird. Like, it's not like I would, like, in other words, like, I'm thinking of a fully different protagonist, not Nathan Drake, but another. In other words, if the franchise Uncharted was headed by another character, not like, because to be honest, like, what does even Nathan Drake work as a woman? I don't think so.
No, not really. You know, he's very much a man. You know,
he's very much a male protagonist. Like, that's why I put if I were to say Zoe was the main character in Uncharted game. She does have that quippiness of Drake, but she also has a different energy than Drake.
Yeah, she acts like a woman does, you know? So yeah, that's why it's kind of weird. It's like, yeah, I don't know. Again, but I've never really thought about it. So I can't answer this question, but maybe somebody else can.
I don't think about it, but I mean, it's like, if we were to play in that zone, what would fit? And I think that's in general what I think is the thing. If it fits. And I feel like obviously I think that a lot of people, this guy said, was like, a lot of people are very iffy about them playing Ghost of Yote protagonist. But I mean, to be honest, I don't have an issue with there being a female protagonist in a samurai game. We've seen plenty of games that have had that female protagonist or ninja woman as the main character.
Like Rich's favorite game, Assassin's Creed Shadows.
My issue with Assassin's Shadows is I feel like she doesn't, we don't seem to be getting sold on her as much as we were with Jin.
Oh, you mean, Ghost of Yote, yeah.
Yeah, for Ghost of Yote, there's not a lot selling her to us as a story that maybe people might wanna go down the line. Well, there's not enough of her personality that's even being shown inside of the things. She's just, you know, okay, I'm you know, protagonist swap Jin Sakai. Like, what is there? you know what I mean? It's like, what is there unique about why do we want to play her? What is there about her that, and that's my only issue with that title. It has nothing to do with female protagonist. It's just like, what's the selling point? Besides that it's just
it's a good point. Yeah. All right. Anybody else want to jump in on this?
Put a kid, you know, it's like, by the same sort of logic, it's like, okay, put a kid in there too. Just make the kid the protagonist. It's about the same thing.
The whole thing, the funny thing is that the your criticisms of the Yote game is just, I pretty much have the same things for Ghost of Tsushima. I didn't really care about Jin Sakai. I care more about his uncle.
That's
I felt like it was his story more than Jin's. Jin's was just like taking me to the actual story. I'm with Manny. I feel like it really depends on the character, whether their attributes lend to, you know, stereotypical male type of things, or it really depends. You would have to say one game like, oh, what about Monster Hunter? Would it be,
for that, like, it's like, who, you know, you want the woman because they have the better outfits, you know?
It really depends.
Yeah, no, that's my answer too. You know,
the only ones that you can generally just gender swap are one-dimensional characters with no real cemented personality. Like, the ones where you make all the choices and like, people are not going to like, but like, Shepard versus Femme Shep, like, you played as Shepard, right? Like, Shepard was whoever you wanted Shepard to be. There wasn't a lot of, like, Shepard had to be this. So there was enough wiggle room that, like, you could do a male or a female Shepard, but, like, most games outside of an RPG, they don't have that. And so you're either going to get a well-defined character like Ezio, right? And you can't just gender swap Ezio because that's fucking lazy. You can't just, you know, bolt tits on a man and be like, and we're done, right? Like that's you don't do that in writing and you don't do that in video games. It's just a poor example of how to do it. I think the inherent problem with the question is, are there any characters that are one-dimensional but compelling enough to be able to gender swap them? And I think the problem with the Ghosts games is that neither Jin nor the new character seems super appealing. And like it's because honestly they're not. They're kind of placeholders. They're samurai. They're Jim Everyman, the samurai. Jim Everywoman, the samurai. And at that point, like, why not just make a character creation? That's where mm-hmm. I'm coming from, right? Like, in most of these point. Times, like, you could just make a character creation and make everybody happy and just fucking move on with your life.
Yeah. Or give people the choice, too, right? Like, what's the name of that game? Ronin, right? Rise of Ronin or something, Rich?
Rise of Ronin. Well, yeah. You can create the character, yeah.
Yeah, well, like, you could play as either, you know, like who you choose to save or whatever, like, you know, that's who you play as. So you could do that. But yeah. Anyway, Rich, you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, a few quick comments. I do agree with Manny and I agree with what everybody said. There I do want go. To respond to what you said, Tony, about, Assassin's Creed Shadows.
Yeah. Because when you
said that triggered something in my head. And I think that title is very appropriate because Ubisoft has been in the shadows since that game has come out. They haven't said a damn thing about any other titles they have coming out. So, yeah, very, very good title.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
And unfortunately for that game.
How many players?
That game got a lot of shit. I think not mostly because of the female protagonist. It's mostly because it was Ubisoft doing an Assassin's Creed game based on Japan when they said they didn't want to do it. And then also the backlash from the actual Japanese people that thought this was, disrespectful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they weren't happy about that. All right, so here's the real controversial question. And the reason I decided this was okay, because even though it is politically charged, I kind of want to give just people, I want people to understand something we've been discussing on this podcast forever. Let me get into it. While America seems to have moved on, gamers are still feeling the brunt of the hashtag MeToo movement. How much longer are gamers going to have to suffer through this? Again, I don't want to get political with stuff, but yeah, we've seen a gradual shift of the pendulum swinging, right? You're not going to see that for gaming for a while. Why? Because games take forever, you know? So basically, whatever cultural things may have been happening in like 2020, 2021, you're going to see games carry that over until now and the next year. I want you guys to dive in, but in my personal opinion, I think the big budget games that have been like Western games that have been in development, I think we're going to see this sort of stuff, you know, like cultural relics, as I'm now calling them, for like the next probably 3 or 4 years, potentially, you know? But that's the main reason because Quake was like, hey, is it cool if I ask the question? I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Because I just want people to set their expectations. This isn't like, you know, a movie where they could kind of shift things around, or a TV show where like you're already seeing some changes. We've been talking about this forever. Games take 50,000 years now to come out. So you're not, this is why you have a game like Ghost of Yote. It's like kind of harping on those cultural things that happened 4 years, 5 years back. So it's going to take a while, guys. Go ahead, Manny.
It's also the same reason why every little black protagonist has a Killmonger hair.
That's
you
right.
You got to think about when that movie came out and when what it inspired after. We're getting stuff from 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when that was thought of as hip and now, right?
Oh, you know? Perfect example, right? Why are we getting all these like, you know, looter shooters now? Because that was a great idea 5 years ago, you know?
Exactly.
When Suicide Squad was envisioned as a game, those type of games were popping. But when it came out, not to mention the fact that the game sucked, it was like, wait, these kind of games are over. We're done with this shit. You know, so that just goes to prove that gaming just moves at a very, you know, because again, these games just take forever to make, but you're right, man. You were like, we had the Prince of Persia with the Killmonger hair. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know,
he had the Prince of Persia with the Killmonger hair. We have Eddie Goro had the Killmonger hair.
Right.
Yeah. There was
that's
a bunch
so
of,
true.
There's a whole set. Miles even has it too.
Yeah.
You know, in the latest Spider-Man game. So it is there. I think the thing about when it comes to movements like that, it does take a little bit of, because games, we're literally getting a message from 5 years ago or 6 years ago, those things.
It's like looking at a star. That's not what the light looks like now. That's what it looked like in the past.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And that's the thing. That's also when we talk about the looter shooter idea of like thing. It's if you think about it, it's like those things are not supposed to take 5 years to do. Those things are, they should take a shorter time to try to capitalize on all this thing. Once you get your foot in the door, that's when you start really putting it in. But I think, we saw with Concord, right? You have all these games that are literally just flashes from the past.
Yeah.
So
that's right. Yeah. If anybody wants to dive in, go ahead. But I think we gave a pretty good answer. It's going to take a while, guys.
I also think there's a lot of special interest money, Sweet Baby Inc. kind of thing. They've bullied their way into the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I think pulling all of those people out, I mean, like just the way that they used intimidation techniques to push their way into games is not something that's easily dismissed, especially with an HR department who might be skittish. So, you know, be like, oh, well, yeah, Leah, sure, let's take on these consultations for some of these games, you know, just to make sure we're not ruffling anybody's feathers so that we can't be, you know, seen as a controversial game.
The equivalent of fucking sensitivity readers, Brett, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm glad you brought up that point, because we do want to say, we're not saying that games are going to change in 3 or 4 years. It's say if it's going to happen, it's going to take a while. If it's going to happen, because you're right, Brett, there's still a lot of entrenched people, you know, trying to push some certain things. Go ahead, Chris.
I think it is happening. I think a couple of, but to your point, when you realize that change, 5 years have passed. So even if a company now says, hey, we're going in a different direction and ditch them, you have to retool the game, revisions, rewriting, maybe re-record stuff, you know, processes like, you know, involve someone like Manny or whatever. That takes time. Right. So that doesn't change. But here's what's going to influence even more. The success of games like X-Men 33 and all that, the stuff that rejects all that woke nonsense, and they're having success, right, with smaller budgets, and they're reaping bigger returns of investment. So that is going to push the industry to go, oh, we can't do this. And we have to ditch this, like all these consultants and all this bullshit, and make games with proper stories and whatever people want. So that will happen. But once you start charting that course, it takes 5-6 years to...
Yeah, it's going to take a while, guys, if it changes at all. All right, moving on to the last three questions from Mr. Alpha Chuck. Is it just me, or does it feel like the tides are turning at Sony regarding live service games? Concord failed, Marathon is right behind it, and most other projects we've heard about have been canceled. Is it feeling the same to you? Oh, yeah, it's not even a feeling. It's a fact. They've canceled mostly all those fucking games. I think Marathon's the last one standing, right? There may be another one, but like, it's
fair
over.
Fair Games is still.
Which one? Oh, the Fair. That's right. That's right. But yeah, no. Again, you know, we've been talking about this for a while. It's not a feeling. This is Sony's like, okay, this shit ain't gonna work. I think that's the last like vestige of like Jim Ryan's legacy that's finally being put to pasture. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's happening. Concord is a big wake-up call, I think. You know, it's like, oh shit, we spent how much money on this shit? You know, so yeah, that's an easy one to answer. It's happening already, man. Thank goodness it's happening.
I mean, here's the thing. I don't think, you know, obviously I don't think I don't think it's out of the question for them to continue to do something, but I also think they need, the biggest lesson they need to learn is they need to capitalize on these initiatives right away.
Mm-hmm.
These things need smaller budgeted, like simpler ideas, core things, and then decide if they're going to move. Not spend like, you know, how long Concord has
eight
been in
years.
development. 8 years and into this one thing. No, it didn't take that long to develop, let's say, something like, what is it, Overwatch.
Yeah.
Overwatch didn't take that nearly that long to make. The reason why Overwatch even worked initially is because they skipped the middle. They skipped the middleman of plot development.
Apex Legends is the other one. They jumped on that trend real quick. You know,
they jumped on it real. They jumped on it really quick, and they weren't those two things. What did they concentrate? They concentrated on gameplay, and then they concentrated on, at least for Overwatch, it was interesting looking characters. What was it? The other one isn't that a jump off of Titanfall?
Yeah, Apex right? Legends. Yes.
Apex Legends is literally they just took whatever they do for Titanfall and applied it to this aspect. So they already had a lot of their work already done.
Manny, I'm going to blow your mind right now, because remember, you know, games like Concord or whatever, you know, they're like, you know, even though it's more Overwatch-ish, they're kind of in the same vein as like a Destiny, right? Looter shooter. That game took 8 years to develop. Destiny, take a guess how long it took to develop.
6 years?
10?
No. Carlos, you're the closest. 5 years. So the copy game took longer to develop. Mm-hmm. It's insane. It is insane, man. I should actually go for Overwatch. How long did that take to develop, you know?
I don't know. I remember that game didn't have a long development time.
I don't think it was, yeah.
It came fairly quick.
Overwatch was...
But I could be wrong.
No, I mean, yeah. Yeah, because you said 10 years for Destiny. No. Overwatch is another one. 5 years. That's a normal, you know, kind of cycle now.
Normal cycle. 8 years. 8 years is incredibly pushing it.
Way too long, you know? And let's just be honest, 5 years is already getting too much, you know?
5 years is a long one, too. But I also think that, when it came to also with Overwatch, they also didn't. I think it was mostly, I think it was mostly spent on the gameplay aspects of it and then just maybe the characters. I think, you know, they had this whole story thing that they were going to put in that game, you know, like cinematics and stuff. And they just literally scrapped all that stuff and then just made it like external content. You watch a trailer and it tells you.
Yeah. All right. Another one from AlphaTuck. Another question that's fantastic that I don't know the answer to. And hopefully somebody here does. When a studio shuts down, but its games are still listed on Steam, who gets the money? Where's the money go?
Whoever the publisher is.
Like the original publisher?
Yeah, whoever the publisher is who owns the property.
So what if the studio doesn't exist anymore?
Doesn't matter if the studio doesn't exist. The who makes them, who the publisher. Gives out the money is the publisher.
What if the publisher doesn't exist?
If the publisher doesn't exist, and then the thing is that, like, when it comes to Steam, they don't just put games like they're always pulling games off of that thing.
Yeah.
Right. So if the publisher's out, and then let's say that means that whoever bought that franchise is keeping. In other words, like if it got sold to another. Yeah, it's other company. Yeah.
Are there any games? Go ahead, Chris. Yeah, go ahead.
Stuff that gets auctioned off when the publisher goes under, there's often auctions, like IP auctions or whatever. They have liquidations, right?
Yeah.
Just like any asset. It's like, so they're holding companies and hedge funds that buy it. Some like Telltale Games. Telltale Games are still sold, but whatever holding company bought the IPs, they get the money.
Okay, right, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because I was wondering, like, yeah, we're like, what happens? Like, who gets that money? But somebody does buy it, even if it's like nickels on the dime or whatever, nickels on the dollar.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
And then that's how they're able to keep it on there. But if everything is gone, if it's all gone, like they wouldn't be able to keep it because there's nobody there. So what they would have to do is that as soon as, like, let's say, you know, sort of thing does happen, when he goes down, and then they have to eventually that all that stuff has got to be pulled. And then repost it, re-put on.
Yeah, makes sense. Oh, we learned something. I did. All right, and the last question of the night. This one's funny. You have been asked several times before what games you would like to see remastered or remade. I will not revisit that question. However, are there any games you do not want to see ever get a remake? For example, are there games you know would not have the same impact or any remake would take away from the vision of original? And he goes, caveat, The Last of Us is too much of a low-hanging fruit, so you can't use that one. That's funny, man. The thing is, like, the two games I said should never be remade were literally remade in the same year. Dead Space and Resident Evil 4, and they turned out pretty well. You know, those
and
were
and they're getting another one of yours. What, Metal Gear 3?
Yeah, so there you go. Even though with Metal Gear, they already kind of remade it, so I was never too much against that. But yeah, so yeah, they've already hit the big two. Because generally speaking, I don't care. Like, you want to remake something, go ahead. You know. But yeah, they already got my main two, so I don't even have an answer anymore. Go ahead, Carlos, as you were talking before.
So it's a remake that shouldn't be made because it'll mess up. Halo 2.
Oh shoot!
I mean, oh, never mind. That already happened.
That already did. It happened. Master Chief.
I don't know. And Mass Effect has kind of been remade, right?
Yeah.
The collection.
Yeah. I will say that. Yeah, that's a good. Do not remake Mass Effect. Leave that shit alone. You know, like completely ground up remake and shit. New storyline. Like, no. Don't fuck it up. Leave that shit alone.
You'll never capture that magic. Like, it was. It's a product of its time as well. Same thing with Fallout 3. I just feel like I don't think they could make that type of game ever again.
Yeah.
Not even Obsidian anymore.
Yeah, I think that's my big one. Mass Effect, leave it alone. You could remaster. Go ahead, remaster. Don't remake. You know, don't
intru- only one you can actually kind of remake is the first one.
But only gameplay wise. Gameplay wise.
Yeah, only gameplay wise. Yeah.
Don't fuck up the story's so good. You know. Yeah. All right. Anybody else? What games or franchises do you not want remade or remade?
They already did it. They did Resident Evil 4.
Yep.
They're doing Metal Gear Solid 3. You know, it's like, but you know, here's the thing. For the Resident Evil,
it was
like,
good.
It's a pretty damn good version of it, right? Like they took what was there and they pretty much added to it.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. I don't mind that. But then again, like then we have something like Metal Gear Solid 3, which is where it's like it's literally just Metal Gear Solid 3, but with a really nice coat of paint. It's the same underlying stuff, just everything's painted a lot nicer. And they've added a bunch of quality of life changes. Oh yeah, but what would be the one to stay? Other than those two, what would be the one state that I would, besides having another 10 remakes of Last of Us?
Because that's the easy one.
Yeah, you know, I want to see people remake bad fucking games and fix those. Let's go in and take those shitty. Let's go back and take a shitty game that did utterly atrocious and you know, because it had so many issues, and somebody went in, remade the damn game, and actually got it to reach the potential that it was supposed to reach. I want to see that.
And which one would you like for that then? I can't think of anything. There you go, people. Ask us that question. What bad game should be remade? Somebody asked that for a future show. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know what I see? Yeah, come on, The Bouncer, remake that.
There you go.
The problem is I don't trust them to make a lot of remake a lot of games.
Yeah, that's a good point.
At this point.
Yeah.
Also, I would say remake Concord, but I don't think Rich would ever let that happen.
No.
Absolutely. That needs to stay in the garbage. No. Let that stay in the garbage. I do have one comment to make. This might be a bit controversial, although I don't know if it's going to be controversial. I don't know what Sony is doing with their IPs as of late, but I never want them to ever consider remaking God of War 3. Leave that game alone.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
All the God of War, the old God of Wars, they shouldn't remake because you know they're going to get rid of specific parts that.
Oh yeah, good. They're going to get rid of some mini games. You know.
Just going to change all of them to play like the new God of War.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, leave it alone. Leave the old games alone. You know, you want to remaster them for be on PS5? Go ahead. Don't remake it. Leave it alone.
Yeah,
you're right.
I still have my heart broken by Final Fantasy on that one.
Uh oh. Yeah, that was your previous answer.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VII, like that was a monkey paw wish right there.
Yeah. Although I will say, hey, Manny, here's one, you know, going about bad games, remake Final Fantasy VIII. Rehab down with that, because that gave me some fucking work. Fucking Junction System pissing me off all these years later.
Shit. Final Fantasy VIII, yeah. Remake that.
Go ahead, bro.
Can I actually say to remake Final Fantasy VII again?
But turn-based?
Yeah.
And on one disc. On one disc.
Yeah, and your Expedition 33 showed you that people still care about that shit.
You know?
Come on.
Yeah, for real, man. All right, anybody else? All right, I'm going to take that as a no. So we'll start wrapping things up. Rich, what's going on with the Coalition this week?
Well, yeah, so working on a couple of different previews and reviews. I have been playing quite a bit of games, so there will be a lot to talk about soon. Stay tuned to the website as well as the YouTube channel, because you'll see some videos starting to drop later this week. But outside of that, yeah, I will also plug the TV Terminal. You know, Adam will be reviewing Dexter, Revival, and several other shows that he knows more details about than I do. So stay tuned to that. Those will also be posted up later this week.
I still don't know how the hell Adam has the time for all this stuff, man. It's amazing to me. You know, TV and games. He has power, man. I just think he just doesn't sleep, you know. Manny, you got anything?
Yes. Well, first of all, we'll have stuff from Little Stuff out on the field. We have a little bit more nostalgic thing in the future. Power Rangers Prime number 9 coming out next month, bright and early, I think around the 6th. So be cool. It's a cover drawn by myself. Then there, later that month will be MGSCon, which the 3rd of August, big old Metal Gear convention put on by the fans, was funded by the fans. It's going to have every single voice artist who worked on the Metal Gear, at least worked in Metal Gear Solid 3, which is also Delta, be there on hand, as well as a bunch of other voice actors and a bunch of artists and creators from Metal Gear fandom. So there's a lot of really cool stuff. It's a one-day event. So hopefully if you're out there, what's up? I've got all kinds of cool stuff. I got my books, got shirts, all kinds of fun stuff to MGSCon.
Good stuff. All right, guys, we're done here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord and follow us on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley. Chris, are you there?
Hey, take care, everyone.
Hey, take care, everyone. Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everyone.
And yes, he was here. Mr. Brian Manjoma. Oh, I guess he wasn't here. All right. Later, people. All right, guys.
Sorry.
Now they're back.
The audio went out.
Yeah. All right. Brian, are you there? If you can make it. Outro, Brian. Oh, well.
If I told you that a star was the size of a watermelon? I don't
know. It's as dense as a watermelon. Okay. All right, guys. We'll see you on Thursday. Later.
Later.